Welcome back to Travels with Alicia. I have returned recently from a three-week trip to Vietnam. And Vietnam now is the number one budget travel destination. I went with my sister and her husband, and we had an incredible time. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about the beautiful and vibrant country of Vietnam and some travel planning tips. And then in future episodes, I'll cover the five destinations that we visited. So first, let's just talk about some facts and quick history of Vietnam. Vietnam is located in Southeast Asia. China is right to the north, and Laos and Cambodia are to the west. The east is ocean. It's the China Sea. Vietnam is so long and narrow. It's actually over 3,500 kilometers, and all of that is a coastline with the China Sea. So Vietnam is actually two words, Viet and Nam. In ancient Chinese, Viet was used to describe the group of people from outside of their country's borders, and Nam meant to the south. So in Chinese, Vietnam would have meant the people to the south of our country. And today, the two-word variant is still used by Vietnamese nationals and neighboring countries. It's actually the West that has changed it into one word. Vietnam has really changed over the years. Today, it's a major exporter of food. It exports lots of seafood, but also coffee and tea. They're the number two coffee producer in the whole world after Brazil. And when you're in Vietnam, this is something that'll become very evident to you. There are like two to three coffee shops on every single corner. And their coffee shops have huge menus. It's not like just getting a coffee or a cappuccino. They have all those things. But they also have many regional specialties. They have egg coffee, salt coffee, coconut coffee, and the coffee in Vietnam is first class. It's definitely something that if you're a coffee lover, you will really enjoy the coffee shops of Vietnam. Other major products are cashews. 55% of the global supply of cashews come from Vietnam. And they also have more ducks than any other country, 27% of the world's population. Especially in the north, you're going to see restaurants grilling the ducks rotisserie style, like we do chickens. And this creates an unbelievably crispy skin. And if you love duck, it's definitely worth a try. Vietnam has also become a major manufacturer for many large companies. So they definitely manufacture for companies like Nike, Hoka, North Face, Patagonia, just to name a few. You're going to see this branded clothing and shoes all over Vietnam. They're readily available in stores and in the large open markets. So I'm not sure if some of them are knockoffs or irregulars, but the prices can be 90% cheaper. And don't get any ideas. You can't come and fill suitcases and bring them home. That definitely is illegal and you're not allowed to do that. But I had a pair of sneakers get totally muddy and I couldn't put them back in my suitcase. So I threw them out and I bought a pair of sneakers for a little less than $20. And they are more comfortable than the ones that I bought here in the U.S. So they're definitely well made. Like I said, I'm just not sure if they're knockoffs or irregulars from the store. But let's now just kind of move to a brief history of Vietnam, because it explains so much when you travel there. So what we now call Vietnam was once owned and run by France. So from the late 1800s to 1954, Vietnam was a French colony. And you will see significant influences in the architecture and the food. Their most famous sandwich, the banh mi, is actually a French-type baguette with pâté and meats. They top it with vegetables and herbs with interesting Vietnamese sauces, but you will definitely notice the French influence. So after 1954, next came the Vietnam War. And unfortunately, this war was a conflict between the north of Vietnam and the south. And the United States actually participated in this war and was an ally of South Vietnam. Unfortunately, over 2 million Vietnamese people lost their lives and about 60,000 Americans. The war ended in 1975, but it wasn't till 1995 that the U.S. and Vietnam kind of resumed diplomatic relations. So probably, at least from the U.S., people were not visiting there until after 1995. So sometimes, you know, it takes a while for the pains in the history to subside, but today, Vietnam openly welcomes tourists. And the best time to visit, really, sometimes is between November and April. But remember, you have to be careful because the weather can be very different in the north and the south. So it's better to decide where you want to visit and then pick the month to travel. People ask me, is it safe? And I want to tell you, I felt very safe. The locals were warmly welcoming tourists, very safe out at night. Never once did I ever feel uncomfortable day or night walking around any of the cities or any of the places I went in Vietnam. I will say, you know, English is not widely spoken in some of the nicer hotels. Yes, you'll have fine people speaking English, but overall, it's not very good, but we got along just fine. As I mentioned earlier, many of the 2024 travel lists have Vietnam at number one or very close to the top. It is such an inexpensive travel destination for Westerners. But it's not only inexpensive, it's actually a really good value. So it's not just good to go to somewhere because it's inexpensive. You want to make sure that there's nice places to stay, wonderful food, and things to see. And Vietnam has all of this. They have many, many five-star hotels in all the destinations that we went to. This trip was kind of a special treat. My sister and I had really consciously decided, given, you know, that we knew that it was very budget-friendly, that we were going to enjoy the higher-end hotels. And so we had an opportunity to stay at many amazing five-star hotels, and these all included great buffet breakfasts. I mean, think like Las Vegas-style buffets. Like, these breakfast buffets were extremely large at these hotels. They served all different food, Western food, Asian food, all different type of Asian food, not just Vietnamese. And it wasn't just breakfast food. So what really made it special is that there was a lot of dishes and things we wanted to try, and we were actually able to try a lot of them on the breakfast buffets. And then if we liked it, we could order them out later at dinner or when we were out eating outside of the hotel. An example of this was there was a fish soup at breakfast, and I had heard about this fish soup. It was a sour fish soup, and it sounded really not appealing, but the descriptions, it's one of their best soups, and we were in northern Vietnam, and they had it at the breakfast buffet, and there was a huge line for it, so I said, I know it must be good, and there's little risk trying something at a breakfast buffet, because if you don't like it, you don't have to eat it, and I did try it, and I absolutely loved it. It was one of my favorite meals that I had in Vietnam. It was a crispy fish with broth, and the broth was a little sour, but somehow I really liked it. I guess the description of it didn't do it justice, I'll put it that way. And then it had noodles, and then, as always, Vietnam serves lots of fresh herbs and greens to put with your soups. So it was wonderful. The food to me was healthier than other Asian countries that I visited. They had basil, mint, and so many different herbs that I had never even heard of. I will mention that I don't know that Vietnam is as hygienic as, say, Thailand, or definitely not up to Japan standards. But always use your judgment. I mean, don't eat street food that's been out in the sun all day, sitting there, that's not on ice. Make sure food's cooked in front of you. I would definitely say bring Imodium and Pepto-Bismol and things like that, but don't let it stop you. I remember someone said, don't eat anything raw, like don't eat any of the greens. Well, that's half the food. I mean, it's not really possible. So we did have amazing food, and I definitely would recommend trying many different dishes. So transportation. I thought the transportation in Vietnam was fantastic. We used flights, like we did an inter-Vietnam flight, very inexpensive. They have buses, they have trains. We used private drivers. Grab was available in almost everywhere we went, and it was easy and so inexpensive. We didn't have any issues with transportation, and anything we wanted to do, there was many options for transportation. I think I want to mention one thing that, to you, or a place that I did not know existed in Vietnam, and it was part of my research, and you don't hear very much of it. Vietnam has the largest cave in the whole world. It wasn't discovered until 1991, but it's about 3 miles in length, about 700 feet high, and about 500 feet wide. And they have a wall inside this cave that they kind of say it's like the Great Wall of Vietnam. So this is an amazing place that's just recently been discovered. But right now, only 1,000 people can visit it a year, which is not a lot of people. And it's about $3,000 a person to go to this cave. So given how exclusive it is, I don't think that's very expensive. But there is only one tour operator that's allowed to bring visitors into this cave. And it's Oxalis Adventure, O-X-A-L-I-S. So if you are a person who really likes that type of thing, it's something to look into. And I'm not sure if it'll be more readily available for tourists later. But right now, it's very, very limited. So Vietnam is mainly Buddhist. There's beautiful temples and shrines everywhere. It's a country that's a very peaceful people. Which is funny because it kind of conflicts with the crazy motorbike scene, but motorbikes are the way most locals get around. And it's a very populated country. There's about 90 million people in Vietnam, and there's about 60 million motorbikes. It is crazy. I mean, everywhere it's crazy, and whole families pile on one motorbike. You get used to it, but it is a little stressful at first. So what I thought I'd do next is talk about the 5 places I visited, and then I'm going to do an episode on each of these locations to share a lot more about what we did and if I would recommend that place to go. So first we went to Hanoi, and Hanoi is the capital city in northern Vietnam. It's known for its old quarter, and it has a French quarter. And as we talked about the history, that makes sense since the French ruled Vietnam for such a long period. There's several lakes and crazy traffic, but there's great flights. You can get to Vietnam and to Hanoi in particular very easily. It's one of the hubs that if you want to travel around Vietnam, at least from the U.S., you'll be able to get reasonably priced flights into Hanoi. It's a good place for hopping off to other places. And I stayed 3 nights in the beginning of my trip to adjust, and then 2 nights at the end before leaving. So I was there 5 nights. I really made an effort to get out and see a lot, so I'm looking forward to doing that episode soon. The next place we went to was Sapa. And Sapa is 5 hours north of Hanoi. You can take a bus, an overnight train, a shuttle, or a private driver. We took the private driver, and it was the fastest way to get there, and it was really, really comfortable. It was over $100, but we split it, so that was pretty economical for us, but the trains and the shuttles are much less expensive. It's really like the Switzerland of Vietnam. There's a lake, and there's mountains, there's villages and waterfalls. It's a big hiking destination, and one of my favorite hotels was here. So definitely stay tuned for the episode on Sapa. Then we went to Da Nang, and Da Nang was a flight. That's in the middle of Vietnam. And we spent 4 nights in Da Nang, and I could have stayed so much longer. I mean, I felt like this was my place. I connected to it. It's a city, and it's a beach. It had a great pedestrian walk that you could walk up and down every morning. The beach was absolutely gorgeous. And there is great seafood everywhere. I ate crabs and lobster and really enjoyed this. It was the least expensive of all the places we visited in Vietnam. It kind of felt like a less expensive Miami or Waikiki Beach in Hawaii. Then the next place we went was Hoi An. It's only 40 minutes from Da Nang. It is its own destination. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And we actually went there and spent two or three nights there because we really wanted to enjoy this beautiful pedestrian town. If you ever look at pictures of Vietnam, Hoi An is one of the cities that they always show pictures of because there's lit up lanterns all over at night and it's gorgeous, but it is very crowded. And I love that we could do it a little slower since we were actually staying there and we could be there before and after all the day trippers that were coming. So those are the two destinations that we did in the middle of Vietnam, Da Nang and Hoi An. Then we flew back to Hanoi and went 2 hours south of Hanoi to Ninh Binh. And this is really stunningly beautiful. Gorgeous rice fields, giant mountains, and there's a body of water running through it, through the rice fields. And they give you boat rides to enjoy the scenery. And the people that ride the boats, they actually row them with their feet. So you may have seen pictures of that. A lot of people do this as a day trip. We spent 3 nights there, and it was the most peaceful and beautiful, enjoyable time that we had. We actually picked Ninh Binh over Ha Long Bay. And you've probably heard of Ha Long Bay. That's the one where you see all the giant cruise ships out on the water and the big mountains coming right out of the ocean. That feels like a tour. Like, these cruise ships do these little 1 or 2 night excursions, and a lot of people really do enjoy it, but we really didn't want to do tours, and we didn't want to be shuffled around, especially on a cruise ship, so we picked Ninh Binh, and we don't regret 1 minute of it. It was a wonderful place. I'm looking forward to doing an episode on that as well. I'm going to end this with some tips and reflections and what I would do differently if I were going to plan the trip again or for my next trip. Number one, I would spend a little more time researching the weather in each location I wanted to go. We traveled like late February into March, which was perfect weather in the middle of Vietnam, but it really wasn't in the north. It was still misty and cold. We had coats. We didn't even get to go to the top of the highest mountain in Vietnam, in Sapa, because it was so cloudy you wouldn't have been able to see anything. So I think going online and saying, oh, it's best to go to Vietnam between this month and that, and then just book your trip. No, you really need to look. It's like in the U.S., you know, the U.S. is large, but if you look at Maine versus Florida, you are crossing several different weather patterns. So you really do need to look at it. We only had an open window of time to travel. So given our situation, I think I would have spent a lot more time in the middle of Vietnam. And I did really enjoy that. And I wish I would have spent more time there. As a reflection, I mean, I try to always be honest with everyone. We did have some stomach issues. And to be fair, I'm not sure if it was a virus or food related, but it all happened in Hanoi. It's just a good reminder to bring your medicine. And also, I remember someone who traveled a lot told me one trick they always do, and I used to do it, I need to start this again, is to take Pepto-Bismol 3 times a day for 2 to 3 days before you travel. And this creates a very solid coating on the inside of your stomach, and it helps with stomach issues. So that's just a tip that I highly recommend. The next thing I would share with you is not to bring too much cash. I have always, in all my podcasts, talked about I like to get my cash in advance. I like to get my money converted. I don't want to deal with ATM machines that are broken and then spending my time running around looking for money. But I had a situation where I lost an envelope with money in it. And really, it was like the last day or two. And it was my fault. I don't believe I was pickpocketed. It was zipped in a belt that was in the front under my shirt. So no, I don't think I was pickpocketed. It was 100% my fault. Vietnam is really inexpensive. I know I've said that a few times in this episode, but I only spent maybe a third of the cash that I brought. Meals were $2 to $3. Massages were $8, and I had a massage almost every day or every other day. I mean, it was not easy to go through the money. I mean, like I said, I even bought great like running shoes for $20. It was hard to spend money there. So you don't need as much. I do agree to have some with you, but I brought way too much. And as my sister said, maybe I made someone very happy. On that note, I did hear in YouTubes and in other podcasts, people said they felt they were scammed by some drivers. I did not have that experience. We had an overall very positive experience. But I did follow the advice that I heard. When you're using Grab, it said to make sure the driver starts the ride when you get in and make sure he stops it when you get out. So I never got out of the Grab until they actually stopped it. And I would, even though they sometimes didn't speak English, I would say, I would show them, stop the thing. I need to tip you. And they did, you know, always do it. But I've heard some people, the people that were unhappy, the driver wouldn't stop it and he would drive around a little while longer. I don't know, because I think it's a set price. I don't know why that would matter, but I think they get certain upcharges. Like if you don't show up on time and they don't start it right away, they get an upcharge. But either way, I'm going to tell you how inexpensive these Grabs were. My bills were $1, $2, 70 cents. I mean, that was my Grabs going around. So, I mean, what would the upcharge be? 50 cents? I don't know. I personally wouldn't have worried about it too much. But I just used that practice that I heard, and it seemed to work really, really well. I hope these tips help you if you're planning to go to Vietnam. We had an amazing time. I'm going to get my sister to join me on one of these episodes so you can also have two points of view. Thank you so much for joining me today, and stay tuned for the new episodes where I'll cover each destination that I visited in Vietnam.